And our gracious Father, we thank you for your time and grace. Thank you for the entrance of your word. Thank you for wisdom.
Lord, even as we study your word, we receive the word in meekness and in its fullness.
There's no error in our minds. As we learn your word, we walk in the light of it every day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3. So we're looking at the book of Colossae. This should be the what session now? No, it can't be third. Fourth. Yes? This should be the fourth section. Though all my notes is the fifth section.
But it's the third section. Fourth section. 2 Peter 3 verse 15. It says, and they are an account that the long suffering of our God is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which some things are hard to understand or to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Hallelujah.
So he said, Peter is commending Paul's writing. Peter isn't warning people against Paul.
No, you didn't see warning here. He says, I've heard someone, like I said, said this on public, it trended. Amen. And he said, Peter was warning against Paul. No, this is not the warning. It's because they didn't read it in context, right? So he said, the account that the long suffering of our God is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, right? According to the wisdom. Hallelujah. So he commended Paul's epistle and he calls it scripture. He calls Paul's epistle scripture. Now he used the word wisdom there.
Now that's the word Sophia. Or we call Sophia. Now, the word wisdom is the word Sophia.
So he used Sophia in qualifying Paul. And we said that word Sophia, right? That word Sophia is used in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 15. It says, from a child, you've known the Holy Scripture which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the word used for Paul, for Timothy, that's the word Sophia, though the word here is sophizo in 2 Timothy. It's the same word, shapes of words. Amen. So you use the word sophizo, and it's used for Timothy's understanding of the message of scripture. It says, for a child you've known the Holy Scripture which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Is that so? Showing you that Timothy has an understanding, has a perfect grasp of the message of scripture. So Sophia is used to show that one understood the message of scripture. Scripture there will be the 39 books, Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. So Peter, using Sophia for Paul, shows he understands the message of scripture and that his epistle will carry the same weight. The same message of scripture. Hallelujah. The epistle of Paul will carry the same weight of scriptures. Therefore, Peter, in his writing, will equate the epistle of Paul as scripture. Because it carries the message of scripture. So we began asking ourselves the question, what is the message of scripture? Like we said, scripture is not a book for prosperity, material prosperity. Scripture is not a book for business growth. It's not a book for science. No. Scripture, we said, is the book that carries God's oracle, the oracles of God. That God cannot be known in any other material outside the scriptures. God can be found, can be known correctly. Amen. In any other material that is not the scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we said the message of scriptures, therefore, will be the message of God's oracle, God's message. And we said which is premised on, which is centered on salvation. Salvation and our walk in it. And our walk in it. Salvation and our walk in it. Hallelujah. Therefore, we said salvation produces a walk. Salvation produces a walk. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 verse 8. Ephesians 2 verse 8. It says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Is that? It's not of work, lest any man should boast. So, it says, by grace you are saved. Not of works. It now says in verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship. Watch it. We are what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Right, workmanship, created unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So that means there is a walk in salvation. First of all, he said, he says we are saved by grace, not of works. So you don't have works. You are not saved by works, right? Right? You are not saved by works. But salvation will produce works. Do you see that? Amen. So the works, you are not saved by those works. You are saved by grace. But the salvation, which is salvation, will produce works. Who is my son? Okay. Amen. So salvation will produce works. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we said that salvation produces work. And when James was writing and he said, show me thy faith without works, he's not, you should listen to, we said that last week or last time, we said listen to how he used it. He's talking about active faith, which is what works that is found in salvation. We saw that, right? He said, which of you will your brother come being hungry and you say bless you? Just that is active faith. He's not talking about faith for salvation. He's talking about what the work that faith will produce. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So faith produces works. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And Paul is saying that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We have to walk in them. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Jesus was asked a question in Matthew 22:36. But that's what is the greatest commandment of the law? What is the greatest commandment? And to live. Now we say that word commandment there, where we find the Ten Commandments of Moses. The Ten Commandments of Moses, like we said, is not the laws of Moses. Those are not the laws of Moses. Those are the ten words of Moses. And we said that word there, commandment there, used in Exodus, it's used for the doctrines of Moses. So we ask, what are the ten words? What is the doctrine of Moses? So that's what they asked Jesus. What is the message of Moses? Remember, the message of Moses is the message of God. What are you following me? The message of Moses is the message of God. So you ask, what is the ten command, or what is the greatest commandment of Moses? That is to say, what is the sum total of Moses' doctrine? That's what he said. What is the sum total of Moses' doctrine? So Jesus responded, he says, in verses 37, he said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart. Right? With all your heart. He said, this is the first. This is the first and the great commandment. Watch that. Matthew 22. Let's read it well. Chapter 22, verses 36. Verse 37, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. This is the first and the great commandment. First, there's the word proton. It then goes now say, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These are read together. Amen. That means the greatest commandment in Moses' teaching, which is the way I tell you, when you find the word great there, right? It's asking what is the sum total. Amen. What is the sum total? What is the summary of Moses' commandments? And Jesus said, it is what? Faith in the Lord, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, faith in the Lord, right? And what? Love thy neighbor as thyself, which is what? The walk in that love. Hallelujah. I'll put it like this. I told you it's what? Proton. Proton means a model, right? The first, proton. Now when you use the word second, there is the word deutros, that which comes from the first. So that means what faith in the Lord will produce is love towards all men. Did you see that? So that is the walk in it, our conduct. So we have a conduct that is bettered from our faith. Okay, following me. We have our conduct that is bettered from our faith. And then Mark, in Acts 20:32, where he said, where Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, he said, I commend you to the Lord and to the word of his grace. He said, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Amen. Among the saints, among they that are saved, among those that are sanctified. Now watch what he said. Now we said, when he used the word, I commend you, is the word to hold accountable. Right? So he said, well, Paul is saying to them, I commend you to the Lord and to the word of his grace. Word of his grace there is the gospel. You see that? The word of his grace there is the gospel. So the word of his grace. So which is able to build you up. Now I say which is able. Now the word of his grace, is that salvation? Okay. So which is able to build you up. Now remember, we said it's not an ongoing stuff. Right? Which, you just said, the word of his grace, which has built you up or which is able. Right? Is able there is not a present continuous, but what has happened to you, right? Yes. Right? Build you up and give you an inheritance. So give you an inheritance also is not will happen in the future, but what has happened in Christ. And the inheritance is what? The inheritance is what? The Spirit. That's what we spoke about, right? Yes. Right? The Spirit in our heart. Word of God. So we said when he says he's holding you accountable to grace, He expects that you go back again to see what he refers to as what? The word of life, which is salvation. Then you go back to see. And then saying going back to see, you have to go back to verses 20. Right? How he taught them. Verses 28. The instructions. Take heed to thyself. Do you see that? Take heed to thyself. So that means included in that message, in that word of his grace, will be instructions that they would have to follow. That they would have to follow. Did you see that? It would include instructions that they will have to follow, obey. That is conduct. So that means, what Paul is saying there is that the salvation is what we are accountable to. What we are accountable to. And it includes works. Amen. The works in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you say, as believers, our conduct is a reflection of our nature. Not morals that we want to try to achieve. No, it's a reflection of our nature. We love because we have a love nature. We walk righteous because we are righteous. We walk holy because we are holy people. Hallelujah. So our conduct is reflective of our nature. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Then we began asking another question. What are the epistles for? What are the epistles for? What are the epistles for? We said one, or just run through it, we've spoken about it. We said the epistles are to affirm the faith of believers for the assurance of faith. They are written for the assurance of faith. To answer questions, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. To deal with misconduct. Deal with misconduct. To deal with misconduct. To establish and confirm brethren. To establish and confirm believers. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. To know how they do. To check up, like check up, to see how they do. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. To see how they do. Okay. Glory to God. So Paul, too, in his writing, will write for the same purpose. We write for the same purpose. Now, let me show you something. Now, when they write, especially to answer questions, to deal with misconduct, to deal with prevailing issues that is around them and surrounding them, what they will do is that they will interpret scriptures. Now, their epistles will be from the scriptures, and the four gospels will say that. So they are interpreting scriptures and writing the application to them. Amen. Amen. So their epistles is more of an application to their audience of God's word. Amen. So when they write the epistles, they are not writing for you to use the epistles to replace the Old Testament books. The Old Testament books are not gone. Amen. Amen. And the situation of the word Old Testament books should not confuse you to think it's something that is gone. Because the use of the word old and new, look at it, new is renewed, right? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So the old is not talking about what is gone. Rather, the Old Testament there is referring to what? Their unbelief. I showed you that, right? Referring to their unbelief. So where do you have the old, what do you have the New Testament? Matthew or Genesis? So the New Testament is Genesis. Did you see that? Glory to God. I want you to see that. So in their writings, they were not writing for it so that they want to replace the Old Testament books, no. But they want you to read their writing with the 39 books. Did you see that? To read their writing. So we said what would be the background of the epistles? We said the four gospels in oral form, right? And what? The 39 books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's get a bit into Paul and then to Colossae, and we'll continue from where we start. A bit into Paul. So we said Paul, we use some words, right? Did you remember that? Right? He used some words in his writing. Words like what? Temple. Right? Right? Okay. Let me get back to where I have those things again in my notes. Okay, he used words like Christ. That he used the word Christ even more than Christ himself.
That's funny. But that's true.
He used the word Christ. He used the word spirit. Spiritual, heavenly. So he used it more. He used temple. Temple. And now, stop. Okay, I'll deal with that on Sunday. On Thursday. Let me not talk about it. But I now have said this a bit to us, that the difference between the tabernacle and the temple is what? That the tabernacle is a temporal temple. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Have I showed you that before?
Yes,
right? So what is permanent is the temple. But the temple is still a symbol. Right? I showed you that. And also that Christ is called tabernacle, right? For the purpose of the fact that what? We all in him is the temple. So the tabernacle, right? We're going to see that shortly right now, but not like the way I'm saying it now. Well, I'm going to expand on it. It's a tabernacle alone. But what God wants to do is in all the earth, the temple. We'll see that shortly. Amen. Amen. So, he used the word spiritual heavenly, he used the word church saints, and then forgiveness. Hallelujah. And he will not use them as what is far from the believers, but the believers' reality. We said all that. Hallelujah. So, we said Paul will use the word spirit and Christ more. He'll use it more in his writing. Spirit. Spiritual. Spirit. Spiritual. Heavenly. He used it more in his writing. And the reason will not be far-fetched. Because remember, he has the four gospel in oral tradition, right? He didn't see Jesus. He didn't see Jesus in his earthly walk, in his incarnation. Paul wasn't around, right? But he had an encounter with Jesus. More reason why he would use spirits. Amen. Spiritual. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. But just like Jesus taught from the Old Testament books, Paul too is reading from the same Old Testament books and has the account of Jesus in oral form. We would see what Jesus said concerning that in John chapter 14. Let's get back to John 14. Let's see a bit in John 14. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me, believe in God, believe in me also."
Okay, but believe also in me. Now, he's not differentiating God and himself.
They believe in God. Someone said, you have to first be born into God, then now be born into Christ. No, that's rubbish.
What he's saying, they say, ye believe in God, believe also in me.
He's saying the believing in God is the believing in him. Did you see that? The believing in God is the believing in him. Because he is God.
Hallelujah, he is God.
May I believe in John's writing, in his synoptic, I believe John 14, 15 and 16 is John's high point.
The high point in John's writing. Amen. It's the high point in John's writing. Amen. And you know, this is just not too far away.
And then if you read the synoptic account, the other synoptic account, you'll discover Jesus' teaching just before he went to the cross. Around this time, when he was in Jerusalem, when he got to the cross, right? When he was closer to the cross, you'll find he begins to talk about his death and his resurrection, and you find the high point of his teachings to them. Amen. So this is one of the high points of Jesus' teaching. Now he says, believe in God. Now he's now very, very, permit me to use this word, he's now absolute in words. It's not that he has not been absolute, but you find some use of words here that are very absolute. Now he said, believe in God, believe in me also. He now said, in my Father's house. Watch it. In my Father's house are many mansions. Even when also I have told you, I go prepare a place. So now I told you that Father's house, there is the word oikia, family. In my Father's family are many mansions. So we're going to see something. In my Father's family. So who is the Father's family at this point? Who is the Father's family at this point? Look at verses 6. We'll come back to 2. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If you have known me, you have known my Father also. For henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip says, surely the Father is with you. I say, have I been with you, verse 9, so long this time with you, and thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How says he show us the Father? So that means that at this point, this Father's, the Father's family is Christ. Did you see that? At this point, the Father's family is Christ. The Father's family is Christ. Okay, I guess I'm rushing too much. I'm going too far. So the Father's family is Christ. So it now says, in my Father's house, in my Father's family, right, are many mansions. Now when you use the word mansion, there is to refer to a dwelling place. A dwelling place. A dwelling place. So when you say Father's family, is not referring to the sky or another planet. No, my Father's family is referring to himself. They were also, I want to told, I go prepare a place for you. Now, when you use the word many dwelling places, which is mansions there, it's used for a dwelling place. Now said, I go prepare a place. The word prepare is the word hektumaizo. Hektumaizo is not to create a room outside, but a room within. You see that? Dwelling place. I go prepare, hektumaizo, to prepare a place within. So Jesus is talking about the Father's family within, making a place within. So he's talking about what? An indwelling. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hope you're following me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He now says, if I go and prepare, the same word, if I go, we're going to see the import of that word, I go. Say, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He used the word, I will come again. Now, the come again there is not second coming, as people call it. Right? As we're waiting for him to come again and receive us to rapture. No, it's not referring to rapture there. He said, I will come again and receive you to myself. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Where I am, there you may be also. So where I am, there you may be also. He's talking about the same place. The same place where he is. Right? That's where we'll be. Where? In the Father's family. You see that? In the Father's house. Indwelling. Hope you're following me.
Yes,
amen?
Amen.
So, it's not we are in the same house. I'm here, you're here. No. Where I am, this is where I'm standing. That's what it means. That is where you will be. So, did you see? So, he's talking about identification. Indwelling. Right? In the same place. The same, not the same house or the same room. No, but the same
dwelling place. So that means as the Father is indwelling me, he's going to indwell you. Did you see that? As I am my Father's family, because he lives in me, the Father is going to live in you. Hope you are seeing it. He says, and what does he call that? He says, I will receive you to myself. Watch it. Did you see that? So that means we will stand where Jesus stands in the Father's family. So that means Jesus will be, the Father will be in Christ and we will be in him. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Dwell together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see this. He now says, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. But watch that. He said, where I am, there you'll be. Get to verse 16. Let's see how that is possible. Now watch how we use the word spirit, how Jesus will use the word spirit here. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now that's the word allos parakletos. Another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now watch it. He says, he'll give you another allos parakletos. Hallelujah.
Yes,
sir. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The second. Now, it says, another allos parakletos. Now, allos parakletos means the same. Hallelujah. The same. The same. Now, let's see how he explains the allos parakletos. He calls it even the spirit of truth. So, he called the allos parakletos the spirit. Now, the spirit of truth. Watch. Now, allos parakletos is not one guy, some guy in some nation in Allah. Amen? It's not some persons. It's the Holy Ghost. Now, watch what he calls the Holy Ghost. He said the spirit of truth. Now, the word truth there is what aletheia in the Greek. Aletheia, used for reality. Reality. So he said the spirit of this reality. Which reality? He said the spirit of reality. There's also some... I've heard that before. He said the spirit of reality. Reality, just general reality. No. The spirit of this reality. Did you see that? The spirit of this reality. Which reality? What he's talking about. My Father's family. Amen. That I go and receive you to myself. This reality. That's what he has been talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. The reality of verse 2 into verse 3. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. So that is the reality. Even also I have told you, I go prepare a place for you. Now I'll come again and receive it to myself. So the Spirit is, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of this reality of the Father's family. Did you see that? This reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can say the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God, put it this way, the Holy Ghost is the fulfillment of the promise of verse 2 and 3. He is the fulfillment of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now look at verse 7. It says, get back to verse 7. It says, if you have known me, you should have known my Father. Watch that. It says, if you've known me, you'll have known my Father. Also, and henceforth, ye know him. And have seen him. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You know him and have seen him. Now he used that word him there for the Father. He used the word him for the Father. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He used the word him for the Father. You know him and have seen him. Did you see that? So when he said the spirit of this reality, he's referring to what? The Father. This reality of the Father in me and I in him, and there you will be also. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we are following that. Get quickly to verses 18 and 20. He says, let's get to verse 17. Give the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because he sees him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. You see that? Now watch the use of the word him again. Remember, he has used the word him in verses 7 for the Father. right?
Watch, put verse 7 and verse 17 together. He said, if you've known me, ye will know my Father. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Right? He said, the world cannot receive him because they don't know him. For he shall dwell with you and shall be in you. Who? The Father. And he's talking about the Spirit. So the reality of the Father is the Spirit. Jesus himself will say, my Father is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 18, I will not leave you comfort, I will come to you. Watch to verse 20. He says, and in that day you will know, I am in my Father. Which day? Which day is that? The day of the Spirit. Do you see that? Amen. Hope you are following that.
Yes,
glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
The day of the Spirit. The day of the Spirit. The day you will receive the Spirit, which is referring to the resurrection, right? In that day. Now, will that day also be verse 2 into 3? The day you are received. Right?
Yes, sir.
You are received unto himself. Do you see that?
Yes.
That is the day. Hallelujah. The resurrection. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
it says, and at that day you shall know I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Watch it. You shall know you are, I'm in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Did you see that identification?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Which day is that? The day you receive the Spirit. So the reality of the Father and the Son is the Spirit. Is that the reality? You will know. That is the reality of the Father and the Son. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hope you are following me. So therefore, when Paul uses Christ, he uses Christ as the Father and the Son. We're going to see that shortly. He will use it interchangeably. He will interchange Father for the Spirit. When Paul uses Christ and the Spirit, he uses it interchangeably for the Father and the Son. He will use it interchangeably. He will use the Father for the Spirit and the Spirit for the Father. And that is why many times in Paul's writing, you will find to the Father and our Lord Jesus. You will find the Father and the Father and the Spirit and the Son. Did you see that? Amen? So when you use to the Father, right, and the Lord Jesus, he's talking about the Spirit. What is the reality of the Father and the Son? The Spirit. Hope you're following me. And when you find the Spirit, he's talking about the union of the Father and the Son in the believer. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. He uses it interchangeably. Hallelujah. Watch that verse 16 again. John 14:16. He says, I'll pray the Father, I will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Is the word he. That is the word in the Greek that is called otos. Otos, that's he. Now he's talking about the Spirit. He said that he, otos. Otos there means the same thing. The same thing I've been saying. He. And who is the he? In verse 7. The Father. Did you see that? So he's saying, can we read it like this? And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that the Father may abide in you forever. He now called the Father even the Spirit of truth. Did you see that? So the Father is the Spirit of truth. This reality. I'll put it this way. The Spirit of reality, the Spirit is the reality of the Father. Hope you're following that. Hope you are following that. Look at verse 26. So we're investigating. Paul's Spirit. Paul's use of Spirit. Before I say I'm investigating Paul's Spirit. Paul's Spirit. We're investigating Paul's use of the word Spirit. Look at verse 26. It says, but the Comforter. Now that is the same word Paracletos, right? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now watch it. He says, he then. Right? Now when it says he, is another use, it's not autos this time. Right? It said he shall teach you all things. That word he is the word ikanos. E-I-K-A-N-O-S. Ikanos. It's used for a demonstrative pronoun. It's a demonstrative pronoun. So that means it's a demonstrative pronoun. Now, when it says a demonstrative pronoun there, you rush quickly to me to chapter 15, verse 26. Let's see something there. Chapter 15, verse 26. It says, but the comforter, but when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Did you see that? Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Did you see that? Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So that means, the Father is that comforter. The Father is that comforter. Therefore, Paul's use of Spirit will be the indwelling of the Father and the Son. Remember, in verses 22, in verse 20 of verse 23 of chapter 14 said, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Now see who comes to make the abode, the Father and the Son. Right? So who has he been saying before now will come and dwell in them? The Spirit. Did you see that? So that means the Spirit is the indwelling of the Father and the Son. Right? And Jesus has said his Father lives in him. So that means what Jesus is saying is that the same way my Father lives in me as the Spirit, right? He is going to live in you. How? How? The Spirit. The union of the Father and the Son. You see that? Hallelujah. That union is called the Israel, or it's called the Spirit, sorry. Hallelujah. So he said, we'll love him, we'll come and make our abode, our mansion, our money. In chapter 14, verse 2, that mansion there, he says, we'll come and make it in him. Did you see that? How? As the Spirit. So don't miss that out at all. Amen.
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 So the indwelling of the Father and the Son. So let's see this. The Paracletos. I put it this way in my notes. When Jesus said the Paracletos of the Father, he's saying the same thing. That the same way the Father dwells in the Christ is going to dwell in you also. Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So let's see. So that means whenever we find the word Spirit, is what? The indwelling of the Father, right? And the Son. In the believer. Hope you're following. The indwelling of the Father and the Son in the believer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Look at Luke. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but 30 years in the city of Jerusalem to you, and you will far from on high. Right? Right? So, it's called what? And he's talking about the Spirit. He calls it the promise of my Father. Don't miss that. Promise of my Father. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, perfect. So let's get to Paul again. Right? So we said, Spirit is the Father, the indwelling of the Father and the Son in the believer. Right? Right? So let's see. So when we get to Paul's writing, we'll discover
Paul will write about Christ in two forms. Christ in two ways.
We write about Christ reflecting his human form. Right? Reflecting his human form. And then we also use Christ, the word Christ, to reference the Spirit. To reference the Spirit. And the Spirit will be the Father and the Son.
The Spirit will be the Father and the Son. Quickly, I'll show you something. Look at Ephesians 1. Oh, before I get to Ephesians 1, look at Romans 1:7. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace unto you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that so? Peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be what?
Is that the Spirit? Is that the Spirit? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Ephesians 1. The same thing you find in Ephesians 1 too. So that union of the Father and the Son is what Paul will refer to as the Spirit. Ephesians 1. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, blessed be God. You see that? Our Father. Now he used the word God and Father. He's talking about the Spirit. Right? And that is the major reason why in verse 3 you find spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings is not talking about the blessings are your car is in the Spirit, you just need faith to convert it. No. Amen. We're talking about spiritual blessings there. He has told you the dwelling, the indwelling of the Father and the Son is the Spirit already. Right? You've seen the Father and the Son. So when you talk about spiritual blessings, you therefore would know what he's talking about. Amen. 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 Glory to God. So when you now hear spiritual, for example, that's the word pneumaticos, right? Right? Pneumaticos. And which means, pneumaticos means things of the Spirit, right? Spirit is what? Father and the Son. So we can say pneumaticos will be the things of the Father and the Son in the believer. That will be pneumaticos. The things of the Father and the Son in the believer. Or you can say, the activities of the Father and the Son in the believer. Activities of the Father and the Son in the believer is pneumaticos. In Romans 1:11 again. Romans 1:11. Hope you're understanding what I'm showing you. Romans 1:11. It says, for I love to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. Spiritual gift.
Spiritual gift will be what? What is in the Father, right? What is in the Father and in the Son that is freely ours. Did you see that? Amen.
Amen.
What is in the Father and the Son? Remember in verse 7 he has mentioned the Father and the Son, the Spirit. So it's not be hard for you to see when he talks about spiritual gifts again. So he has told you, he has showed you the Father and the Son in verse 7. That's a spiritual gift. It's not hard for you to see why he used the word spiritual. What is in the Father, that is in the Son, that is freely given to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are following that. Look at chapter 7 verse 14.
Romans 7:14.
So he's used another word, the law is spiritual. You see that? The law is spiritual.
And when he said the law is spiritual, what does he mean? He says in chapter 8 verse 2, he said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So he uses the word the law of the spirit of life.
Law of the spirit. So it is spiritual then. Is that is the law of the spirit. Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are following that. So we can say spiritual therefore will be what is in the Father. We say the law is spiritual. Now spiritual therefore will be what is in the Father and the Son in the believer. What is in the Father and the Son in the believer? Spiritual.
First Corinthians 3. Glory to God. First Corinthians 3. Second, please. First Corinthians 6 verse 20, first from verse 19. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. He now says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So when it says the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, is that the Holy Ghost which is in you? So it means God dwells in you.
This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So the God and the Son are in you. Hallelujah. So we can say the Father rather, not the wrong way. The Father and the Son is in the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when I say you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple. Now in the four Gospels, Jesus is the temple of God. Right? He is the temple of God. Put the tabernacle. So John will put the word became flesh and tabernacle amongst us. You see that? Right?
Yes,
amen. So Jesus being the tabernacle of God in the earth, is that God's plan? Yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But is that lifted now? Is that God's permanent plan or temporal?
Mm-hmm.
Temporal. What is the permanent? God in Christ in us. Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen. So God's plan is not for Jesus alone to be his tabernacle. He wants us, hallelujah, to be in that union. Glory to God. All men. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
In 1 Corinthians 14, quickly. Verse 1. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14. No, let's start from chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have it ignorance. Concerning spirituals.
You see that? Right? Concerning spirituals. The things of the Father in the Son. Did you see that? Spiritual. Now concerning spirituals. Did you see that? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So he has been talking about spirituals on chapter 1. So how come he has it now concerning spirituals? Because he wants to major on what? The gift. A subject in the main subject. So the main subject is spiritual. So he's talking about the subject in the main subject. And he says concerning. Concerning means let's dwell with this. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So concerning spiritual. So that means spiritual will be the union of the Father and the Son in the believer. Spiritual gifts will be the things of the Father in the Son in the believer. Amen.
Ephesians 1 verse 5. Hope you are following me. Oh, sorry. I said Ephesians 1 verse 5. Sorry. Okay. Permit me. Let's see Ephesians 6. You don't find somewhere else, something that is more striking. You don't see spiritual wickedness. Now, what is not spiritual wickedness?
Well, when you get to spiritual wickedness, you have to go back to Ephesians 2, where he speaks about what? Darkness. And the man who is not born again under what? The spirit of the, I mean, he's under the spirit of the power of the air. Right? Right? The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So the spiritual wickedness there will be what? The oppressions of the oppressions of the devil, right? That is at work in the children of disobedience, in unbelievers. So it's not, you can't equate that with Paul's definition of spirit. Right? Spiritual. So they are giving you that mark in chapter 2 from verses 1 into 2 for you to see when you get to spiritual wickedness, oh, it's coming from here. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hope you understand that. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Glory, glory, glory.
So let's see that. That Ephesians I wanted us to open is Ephesians 1:3. I wrote my 3 like 5. Ephesians 1:3. Say, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly. So the blessedness is in the indwelling of the Father in the Son in the believer. Did you see that? That indwelling of the Father in the Son in the believer is that blessedness. That is the blessedness. Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So, we will find Paul use spirituals. Now remember, we said something. We said, Paul will use that our conduct will flow from where? Our nature. Did you remember that? Right? Right? And that the instructions will be what? Spirituals. Right?
Yes,
did you remember that?
No way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Let me say it the way I told you. A second.
I'll use my hand to take it away. I'll actually put my hand there that I'll get back to you today.
Okay. No, same time. But I know I taught you, you listen carefully to what I've been teaching you. Hallelujah. So I said the instruction to the spiritual. Okay, let's just proceed.
Let's proceed.
So the instructions are spiritual instructions. Right? And Paul is faced with a church called the Colossians Church. Now we looked at peculiarity of the Colossians Church. Right?
The Colossians Church is a church that is, the Colossians Church is the church that
had mistrust. They had in history they had a port, right? They had a port which made it a settlement area. People from different walks of life settled in Colossae. Amen. Plus the fire, they have the river Meander. And as I said to Ross, that was already what was happening in the church. The world was already meandering around the church. Amen. So what they had is people from different walks of life, different cities, will come with different belief systems. So we say Colossae will stand today in the as a major, as what we have today called the major cities of the world, like the Lagos, the New York, major cities of the world. Cities where people from different walks of life settle. Different belief system and ideology. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Today, that was good cities of the world, but today I will tell you that Colossae will stand as the AI world. I want to put it that way. Will stand in the as the AI world. The internet cyber world. Where you have different belief systems. Now, people don't need to settle in Lagos to have a belief system translated to Lagos. Amen? Over the internet, belief systems are easily translated. Just go online, put, just want, you want to get anything. You know, who was I having? I said, Google is now, you're walking in the spirit. Any little thing, ask Google. You know, nobody's asking the Holy Ghost again. Ask Google. There's nothing you want to search for that you won't see on Google. Put Jesus is a fool.
Is it? There's nothing you search on Google you won't find. So there are a whole lot of belief systems. While we can also equate it to different cities of the world, because someone will say, ah, thank God I don't belong to a major city. I stay in Benin Republic. Hey, you have internet. Amen?
Yeah.
Glory to God. So, Colossae stands in our world today where there are different belief systems. So, we now had people who began to carry mistrust. Then I explained that to you. I explained that to you last week. I mean last time, we said mistrust in two forms. Two forms, right? Did you remember? Mistrust in two forms. One, the first form will be you, someone who is, who already has a belief system before he got saved. Now he got saved, he didn't allow the belief system to go. Did you see that? Mistrust. Now he's not born again, he's now still using the same belief system. Hallelujah. Yeah, you have someone who used to be an herbalist, for example, got saved and is praying to God, and yet he's still carrying jars. What is the jar song? I don't know. Is he wearing ring? Medi? He's carrying Medi. Wearing, what is the ring for? To stop arrows. No arrows. Mistrust. Colossae was in that point. Then the second set will be those who got born again genuinely, no belief system, but the belief system around is already entering their mindset. It's already entering their doctrine. It's already coming in. Amen. So Paul is going to deal with these two. And these are the things, this is a thing in Colossae. Mistrust. All of a sudden, you now see a believer. After all the war, I saw this recently on someone that I know, this one that I know. A person years back, we had a conversation, the person said, you don't need anointing oil. The anointing is in the air. Years back, the anointing is in the air. It didn't take him up to 5 p.m. And I saw him one day, he was carrying, flat plates, flat stainless plates. If you don't know, you are a Gen Z. Flat stainless plates. He now put anointing oil, Goya oil, and now rubbing on people. I was shocked. If they had told me, I would have denied it. Man of God, what has happened to the anointing in the house? Mistrust. You know, mistrust. Something else happened. And I told you that even the way people dance in church is mistrust. Yeah. I also want teaching the elder how to dance in church, and people are singing and coming to drop off in church. Dancing like this in church. Mistrust. Amen. The world is already meandering, and see, listen to me, the local church today has the world meandering around it. So it's not the duty, it's not the duty of the leadership of the local church to ensure that the world is not found in the church. Hope you understand what I mean. The world is not found in the church. You don't let it in. Leaders, don't let it in. Don't allow the world get into your meetings. Don't allow the world get into your conversations and meetings. Don't allow it. Amen. Amen. Belief systems. Belief systems. We're going to deal with that. So Paul is confronted with it. So what is Paul's response to it? We said Paul's response will be to, he will raise the bar. Right? So he will be absolute as regards the supremacy of the knowledge of Christ to the church at Colossae. Now he wouldn't use harsh words like you use in Galatian church. Why? The church in Galatia, the church in Corinth. Why? Because he was not the one that started the church at Colossae. He doesn't know them. Right? But the same way, he will still pass across his... he leaves the harsh part for the pastor. So it's not like he's excluded from being harsh. No. He left it for the pastor. He's the one that is praying fervently for them. Hallelujah. But he... But he will use more subtle words to deal with the issue.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we are in Colossae.
So we started off last time. We are in Colossae. Colossians. So we stopped at verses 12.
And at verses 11. Hallelujah. So we say, Paul was praying for them. Paul was praying for them. Right? And let's take, again, some things we said. We said, your prayer should be doctrinal. Right? Your prayer should be what I can teach doctrines from. Look at the prayer of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 when he taught them to pray. He says, Our Father who art in heaven. When he taught them to pray, if you look at the content of the prayer, it's what you can teach from. Because he spoke about what he is going to do in redemption. So you can teach redemption from it. And it is prayer. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So your prayer focus, your prayer point should not be, let's check your prayer point, let down my enemies die. Where are they? Fire. No, can you teach that from scriptures? No. So what you can teach from scriptures shouldn't be what you should pray about. So Paul is about to teach them, right? He's about to teach them, caution them from the word, and then he prays. His prayer was towards what he was going to talk about. Amen. So our prayer should be doctrinal. What we can teach from scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
And you remember what I told you yesterday. I said God's plan is not for the wicked to die. So the Holy Ghost fire is not to kill. I said that to us last week. Right? In church. The Holy Ghost fire is not to kill. Holy Ghost fire is to kill the flesh. Right? Is to kill the flesh. The fleshly desires. For the service of the Lord. So I said, the man you're praying Holy Ghost fire for, get to the person with the word, because you are praying for his salvation. Amen. So, Colossians chapter number 1. So let's see verse 11. We'll stop at verse 11. Right? Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, say, giving thanks unto the Father. Now, watch it.
It looks as if the prayer has ended. It looks as if he has ended this prayer,
giving thanks to the Father. Well, the prayer stops in verse 11. Right? But something else you must always learn to do when you read. Right? Right? When you read, is to read contextually. Now, let's see something. It looks as if, giving thanks to the Father, he is now giving thanksgiving. So the prayer ended. No. Look at verses, let's read 22 into 23. It says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and irreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. You look at it, it looks like a promise. Watch it. It looks like a promise of what has not been fulfilled. So that means you will be unblameable and irreprovable if you continue in the faith. That sounds contradictory. Can't you see? If you, so that means if you don't continue, you can't be unblameable. Amen? That means your salvation is temporal, not eternal. Hallelujah. And that's because it has not been read well. So where did the prayer start from? Let's look at the prayer all together. Right? Can we? Let's say the prayer from verses 9. He said, for this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Right? He's praying. What is the prayer? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. This is what he's about to deal with. And he's praying that they might walk worthy of the Lord. Did you see that? Amen? We will teach a series on this. Amen? Just his prayer. Glory to God. They walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering in joyfulness. Continue. Just take away all the verses. Like I said, don't read in verses. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of his inheritance, of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created,
that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. Now take note. He is the head of the body, the church. The head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in him might have all the preeminence. For it pleased the Father, in him should all the dwell, all the fullness dwell. Stop. Let's get back to verses 10, 9, 10, 11. Is this what he prays for them to do? Look at verse 10. If that ye may walk worthy of the Lord. Is it for them to do? So he's praying for them in their conduct. Verse 12, when he says giving thanks to the Father, he's talking about what Christ has done, finished work. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Can you see that? Who has delivered us? Finished work, right? You know, we have redemption through his blood, finished work. Image, finished work. 17, before all things, finished work, right? What he has done? Verse 19, for he pleased the Father, in him should all the fullness dwell. Finished?
Yes, sir.
And having made peace through his blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in the heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works, ye are now reconciled. Has it been done? In his body of the flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Has that been done?
Glory to God. It has been done.
So, what has Paul done? Now, he's praying for them. Now, part of the knowledge he wants them to have, that has happened to them, he now says in his prayer, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us live. Did that? So, he spoke about what God has done in Christ Jesus from verses 12 to verses 22. Did that? Then, in verse 23, he continues his prayer again from verse 11. So the verse 23 is to continue from verse 11. You see that? So look at what he says. He now says here, he says, let's read 11 and 23. He says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
You see that? Hallelujah. Listen what he's praying for.
Can we read that prayer again? Keep 12 to 22 and then see what he's talking about. Right? Let's read it again. Verse 10. He said that ye may walk worthy of the Lord. Right? What he wants them to do, in all pleasing. Right? Being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joy. So he's praying for them that they would walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, if they continue in the faith, grounded.
You see that? So that means the fruitfulness will happen in what? If you stay in the faith.
Did you see that? Let's explore that a bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word if there, many times when if is used, is usually not used for what is conditional. Usually not used for what is conditional many times. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. If is usually not used for what is conditional, is used for certainty, possibility. Certainty, possibility. Look at Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9. Hear this. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in thy heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Is he writing here? Now, first of all, take note. He's writing to people who are saved. Hallelujah. Is it people who are saved?
Yes, sir.
So, are they born again? Are they saved already?
Yes.
So, you now say if. Look at it again. They're already saved. So, it's writing to people who are saved. It's not writing conditional. It's not conditional. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because this is what has been done already. Okay, follow me. So the if is not conditional but certain.
So we can say, what is writing to them here has nothing to do with conditional. So if you, no, they already saved. So writing to, just like writing to a believer and I say, if you confess, you shall be saved. You'll be sure. So it's not conditional for them that are saved. Did you see that? Amen.
Amen.
Okay, another one you find is,
I didn't write it down. Sorry. Okay, let's get back to Colossians. I didn't pick that down. It's supposed to be somewhere in Corinth.
So I didn't write that down. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the if here will be what has been done. So it says if ye continue. If ye continue. The word continue is the word epimano. Epimano. E-P-I-M-E-N-O. Epimano.
Now, when they say mano, you don't have the word mone, right? Menu. Now, it's a word to stay in a place. To stay in a place. No, mone or mano means a dwelling place. Now, epimano means to stay somewhere, to stay in a place. To stay in a place. You'll find it in John 8 verse 7. That's the word to continue. John 8 7. Acts 10 18. Acts 12 16. Acts 15 34. Acts 21 4. Acts 21 10. Acts 28 14. Acts 28 14. In Romans 6 verse 1, it says, shall we continue to live in sin, that grace be abound? Now when it says, shall we continue in sin, shall we continue in sin, rather, that grace be abound? Now, it means, it's talking about we can't stay in sin. Hallelujah.
Yes,
amen. Shall we continue in sin? So it's talking about dwelling in sin, right? And sin there, dwelling in sin there refers to spiritual deadness. Amen. Amen. So he's not actually talking about a conduct there. Shall we continue in sin? No. He's referring to in nature. Say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Say, how shall we who are dead? Do you see that? Who are dead to sin live any longer in it? So you see that. Amen. Amen. In Romans 11 verse 12, verse 22, he used to stay in a place. 1 Corinthians 16, 7 to 8, stay in a place. Galatians 1, 18. Galatians 1, 18. First Timothy 4. Verse 16. It says, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, continue. That's what to continue. You see that? To continue. Continue in them. Stay with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who are following me? In Galatians 1:8, let me just read this. He said, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode, that's the word abode, with him 15 days. Abode. To stay with. Who are following that? To stay with. So, get back to Colossians. Paul's prayer therefore will be that they walk worthy, right? Walk worthy of the Lord,
which implies that our conduct, when we say walk worthy of the Lord, that is to stay with it, therefore implying that our conduct must or should befit our nature. Why did I say so? When you use the word continue in the faith, what is the faith there?
Those who have been around, what is the faith there? Come on, those who have been around, what is the faith? Sister Ayo, what is the faith there? Salvation?
No, I didn't tell you the faith is salvation here. Yeah. Let's look at verse 4. Go back to verse 4. That's why you must read in context. Look at what it says. It says, since the day we heard of your faith in Christ, that is of the love which ye have for all the saints. So the faith there is the same faith in verse 4. Did you see that? Amen. So if you continue in the faith there, it's talking about their love. Did you see that? Their love for the saints. Okay, follow me. So the faith there is their love for the saints. So it's dealing with conduct. So I say if you continue in that, say grounded and settled. Now he used that word again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grounded and settled. So before we get to that, right? So that means if you continue in the faith here, is that, so that means Paul is praying for what? Spiritual growth. Can you see it? Right? Okay. Now, he's praying for spiritual growth. So, continuing the faith, staying in the faith, will be our works, right? First, I mean our works, which is a product of our nature, right? Is it a product of our nature? Right? Glory to God. So we can say, faith in the gospel of Christ has produced in us a work of love, right? Can we see that? Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that means we're telling us to stay with that work, which is a product of knowledge. Did you see that? So if he's saying stay, continue in the faith, is that continue in what you are learning? Would that be it? Continue your nature, but it's primarily dealing there with what the works, what was communicated to Paul through Epaphras. Hallelujah. Now use another word, grounded. Grounded. There's the word temelio. Temelio. Now it's used for what is established.
Temelio. Look at Ephesians. It looks as if, like I said to Rod, the book of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon were written together. So you find similarities. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 17. It says, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you are being rooted and grounded in love. Did you see that? Did you see that? So it picks the same word, grounded there. Grounded in love. Amen. Grounded in love. So he's talking about works there, right? You've got to be grounded. That's the word temelio. That's the word establish.
So he's telling the church that have mistrust. What is that have mistrust? He's telling the church to continue to grow in the message, in the same message. Not different message, the same message that their papa preached to them. He said to them to continue to grow in it. Look at what he said, is that which is preached, I mean, the gospel which he have heard and which was preached to every creature. So that same message, right, that you heard for salvation is that same message that you need for spiritual growth. That's what he's saying. You don't need another thing. So do you see what Paul is doing? He's telling them to remain with the same thing. That's what Paul is telling them. Remain in the same thing. And like told us after this series, after our prayer retreat, we'll get to look at dealing with the bottom.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We have boldness to deal with the bottom.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to see, because this is one of the issues with Colossae. They were interested in new things. So interested in new things, they now started receiving what? Mistrust. New things. Sharp word. You know, like, give me word. Ah, see word. Until the day somebody will now say, you know, we are seated in credit with Christ in heavenly places. You know, they say we are joint heir. Joint heir. That means, should in case God die, and you need somebody to inherit the truth, you are as qualified as Jesus. Imagine that. You want new things now. It's a new one you are here. Somebody will not tell you Jesus is not God. Jesus is junior God. Assistant God. God has a P, Jesus. You hear it. It's new things. It's mystery. Amen. And I have to be mystery. Somebody will not tell you, hey, Jesus is not God. Jesus is an angel. That is Latter-day Saints. So, Church of Latter-day Saints. New things. That's what they say. They say, Satan. Okay, I'm going to... It's part of what we're going to look at the human class next. They say Satan is equating that Satan is the brother of Jesus. Satan, brother of Jesus. Come, give me your head. And where did they drag that thing for? They went to pitch a scripture that is wrong. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. And they pitched it. I guess that was in Ezekiel. Pitched it and... they have been laughing. But you want to hear some that is mystery. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
And that is why he's called Lucifer. Some people are just stupid.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Rubbish.
Okay, let's go further.
So,
Paul seems to stay with us. Now tell me this, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Look at Hebrews 13 verse 9. Hebrews 13 9. Let's get back. Hebrews 13 9. Try to be fast, try to meet up with you. Yes. Hebrews 13 9. It says, be not carried away by diverse and strange doctrines. Did you see that? Be not carried away by diverse and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established. That's what to be established. You see that? To be established. So you shouldn't be carried away with diverse doctrines. There will always be diverse doctrines. There will always be diverse explanations, diverse things. But you should stay.
You know, I was speaking to workers yesterday and I told them, it's not something that we've been talking about. I say stay with the message. Stay with it. Be content.
Hallelujah.
Be content. Be content. What are you looking for?
Hallelujah.
Be content.
Hallelujah.
You can't be saved with the gospel and you want to grow with another thing. You are saved with the gospel. Stay with it. Amen. Stay with the gospel. In 1 Peter 5 verse 10, we see something else. We see similar thing. 5:10. It says, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, set to you. Nigeria will not peace, the Lord set to you.
God will set to you. And the mindset is tension.
Lord will set to you.
Lord will set to you.
But he said, after ye have what? And suffered a while. Suffer.
No one will say Lord. And the statue there, we can see what the statue is for.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The statue there is for what? Look at what they said, that all good has called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, set to you. The set to there is that you are established in the gospel. Gospel. Established in the gospel.
We find out what Temelius used. Temelius used in Matthew 7 verse 25. The house that is founded on the rock. That's the word founded. Founded. Amen.
Amen.
Let's get back to Colossians.
Colossians 1, 23 again. Let's deal with this one. When we read to this point, we already will understand what
it's talking about. Right? Okay. Colossians 1, verse 23.
It says, that's another word to set to them. Yes? If you continue the faith, grounded and set to. That word set to them is the word hedraos. H-E-D-R-A-I-O-S. Set to. That is to be steadfast. Paul will also use the same word in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 37. Used it twice, yes, 7:37. I mean, in 1 Corinthians, it says, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but had the power of his own will. So, one that stands steadfast is the one that doesn't, that is immovable. He used it again in 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, to stand steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah.
So it means to be immovable. So what Paul is praying for here is a prayer for growth. Hallelujah. Steadfast means to stay in one place. Did you see that? So why is Paul telling them to stay? Why is Paul praying that they should stay in one place? Call that wing commander. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
So why is Paul saying they should stay in one place?
Mixture.
Amen. Amen.
They are not adding.
No, it's small adding. Small pepper. Small sugar. Small salt.
Adding everything.
Glory to God. You're not to act with the gospel.
Now he says, let's get back to Colossians. Again. 1:9. I'm going to be a bit far. I mean 23 again. He says, and be not moved. That word move there is the word metakaleo. So he said, he's explaining the same thing in different forms. He says, if you continue in the faith, grounded, right? You see what grounded is, right? Right? Settled. Not you settle you. Settled. Steadfast. That is rising as not to be moved away. Now that word move there is the word metakaleo. M-E-T-A-K-A-N-N-I-E-O. Kaneo. Metakaneo. Now that word meta means to turn. Meta means to turn.
Right? Hallelujah. To turn. To turn, to be turned. Now, Kaneo is used for excitement, to be removed in excitement, to be moved in excitement, to turn around, to be moved. Did you see that? Amen.
Amen.
To be moved in excitement is a word you find, just write this down, Matthew 23:4, Matthew 27:39, Revelation 2:5, Revelation 6:14. Matthew 23:4, 27:39, Revelation 2:5, Revelation 6:14. Amen. Is you find that word in Acts 21. Let's get to Acts 21:30. Acts 21:30. It says, and all the city was moved. That's the word moved. And the people ran together
And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. So the people moved. That's the word to move. Chapter 17, Acts 17, verse 28. Acts 17, 28. Say, for him will live and move and have our being. Do that? A certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. Now I say, for him will live, I mean, for him will live and move. Hallelujah. Chapter 24. Acts 24. Verse 5. Acts 24. Verse 5. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Is that? Amen. That is the word to be moved. Amen. To be moved. In that Acts 21 verse 30, they move with excitement to draw Paul.
Amen. Amen. So it is used that they are being moved away in excitement. That's the word metakaleo. They were being moved in excitement. So that means that mixture came with excitement. So he's telling them, be not moved. Hallelujah.
That mixture is coming with excitement. Something that is tinkling, that is sweet in the ears. Rema, that's what people call it. Amen.
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 To be moved away in excitement. To be moved away. So that means, remember, it means to turn away.
So Paul is saying that thing that is exciting you, that is mystery, you are totally turned away from the gospel. That's what it means. So he said, do not turn away from the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When you turn around for something new, looking for something new. Let's start doing praise night. Let's turn our vision to praise night. Looking for something new.
You are torn away from the truth of the gospel. You are substituting gold with brass. You are substituting gold with brass.
Amen. 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 You begin to look for what is not lost. Then you begin to return joy. I mean, turn courage.
Paul to Laodicea. You don't look for what was never lost. Just want something new. Amen.
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 Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Say, ah, see Rema. Say, let me just say John 1 for you. John 1, the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Was a God. It's not the God. It was a God. That dissecting rubbish.
Amen.
Rubbish.
Say, no. I see it now. I've not seen it in this light. It's darkness you see it in. Rubbish.
Amen. I've not seen it in this light. You're going to see it in darkness. I would say, when we're seeing it, I will just catch it. So people think when they begin to feel goosebumps, it's rhema.
It's rubbish. Sometimes you hear it. Rubbish. There's only other... There are some songs that are emotional. There are some people that when they carry mic, you think it's anointing. They say, okay, Chima, no coach. You will say, no! Rubbish! Anyone that sees you, you'll laugh because they are cutting you. I'm not saying the song is rubbish. There are some people. What is it? Because of good voice. They say, the power is there.
Give yourself free.
Yeah, right. The power of God is in the world. Is it the message? Yeah, the message.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's marry people, Omokachi. Your mind is going to Omokachi that is dead. Okay. No, I don't think the guy is dead. He's not dead, please. I say, brother, the guy is alive.
Amen.
Amen. Goosebumps is not power. Sweat is not anointing. So don't miss it. Amen. You are easily moved. You just see goosebumps and say, ah! Call somebody did jazz and call it power. Let me not go there.
Power is real. Power is real. Yeah.
But I see something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't be easily moved.
Don't be easily moved. You think? See, as you're just talking.
Continue.
That's Mr. And it's called the excitement. It's called the excitement.
Somebody was dissecting. Pause this. Somebody was dissecting. Why would you? And people will just be there. After that, then they will not tell you, let's get to the word. Open the word. Now what I want to tell you is not in this book, it's in the lost book of the Bible. See, there are some lost books. Can't you see? Paul said to the church at Laodicea. Let me show you. I have the book of Laodicea.
Surely Laodicea. You forgot to take loud moon see. Nonsense. Say Laodicea.
Nonsense. The book of Laodicea. Let me open to the book of Jashar. You know heard that book. You are saved. Your salvation is strong. You know heard Jashar.
Amen.
You know heard Third Corinth. Somebody went and journeyed to Third Corinth and stayed there. In fact, that third heaven that Paul went and didn't, he couldn't communicate it. The person read it in Third Corinth. Amen. And after I was done reading Third Corinth, I started giving people jam donuts and more in church.
Is that what Mr. Don't that? Pastor, I'm not forgiving these people. There's a yearly reminder.
Yearly reminder for jam donuts and more.
And the most precious apostle. The apostle of the Lamb.
Oh, he did it. He drank.
He received.
Amen. That is gospel according to Third Corinth. After there is work, after we have labored, let God eat.
Amen. Let's continue. Glory to God.
So, I'll say this. So, you see, that turning away, Paul said no. Paul said they should stay with what they had for salvation. Stay grounded there. Don't be moved in excitement to other things. That's what Paul said. Don't be moved in excitement to other things.
Hallelujah. I love what Pastor Shekou said. He said his friend, Pastor Larry Amosu, told him this. Yes, but he said, growth is not a... It's not in gathering many things. It's not in gathering many things. Growth is in what you know.
Growth is not in how many Hebrew words you now know per day or Greek words. Growth is not in how many... No, it's not in many things you are knowing. No, that's not growth. Amen?
Amen.
Growth is in what you know. He said, growth is in depth and not in width. So, the depth of what you know, growth is in the depth, and that is what Paul is emphasizing here to them. The one you know, stay in it. And when we begin to talk about dealing with boredom, you will see the reason why people go for mistakes. It's not far-fetched. It's not far-fetched. Paul warned the church at Ephesus when writing to Timothy, about it, you must learn to deal with the boredom as a believer.
Amen. You know, growing up years back, when we just started knowing some little things about how to read it, so we think when we are reading the Bible and we don't shout, we are not yet studying. So we have shouting sessions. We are not reading Shinban. I see.
You will not shout it.
You will not say,
We are looking for Rema.
Romans, you read Romans, you get to Romans 11. He says, that same spirit.
You not talk about nice change your position.
That same spirit that raised up Jesus.
Oh God, read it again.
You are looking for a shouting session. What is this? You.
I'm going to teach us this year. We're going to have time to have some short exhortation on meditation. You see, God wants you to think about His word. It's part of worship. You think about His word. Have time where you are just staying away from every other thing and just thinking about the word you study. That's meditation. God wants you to think about His word. So as you study the word, you think about it. You think about it.
See, look at all the half-times I've been saying to us since this year.
Do you see that if you put everything together and have all those times, you won't have time for distraction. Did you see that? Who won't have time for distraction? I'm talking to all of us, including myself, won't have time for distraction.
And to pray, study, think, distraction will be reduced.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's see a few of them. So growth is depth. Growth is in depth, and it's not depth today. Depth is what you achieve over time. Depth is not you keep, you know, depth is what you achieve over time.
You get to your Bible, you read,
you get to Matthew 28, you say, ha. And when you get to Matthew 28, you already raise it in your head.
Is it not Matthew 28 again? All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. So even when they are not reading it in church, you will now be quoting it with your pastor. When I'm opening it, you don't know how to deal with God on Kong.
You think you know it.
Mm-mm. Let's open your brain and put scripture inside.
Amen. Amen. Let's get back. I'm looking at my time. I'm trying to see what I can do. Amen. It says, if you continue in the faith, guarded and set to not move away from the hope of the gospel. Did you see that? Which ye have heard, and which was preached. Remember, I've told you what the hope of the gospel is, right? What's the hope of the gospel? 27? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You saw it, right? The hope of the gospel, right? Christ, union of the Father and the Son in the believer. Did you see that? Right? Okay, so let's go ahead. Hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof power means that. Now, when you use the word every creature there, it's not referring to all the world.
Now, we now have school of thoughts that sprang from this. We have the Calvinism, and then we have the Universalism. They sprang from this. It was the statement of Paul. And it's not hard for you to see. Amen.
Universalism will tell you that every man is saved. Every man is saved. They are only waiting to discover that they are saved. That every man is saved. Every man. That Jesus' death was for every man. So just like, and they equate it wrongly. Reading Romans chapter 4, then they will now tell you by one man, death reigned, right? So therefore, automatically, that's where people miss it. They think the reason why they are in the flesh or why they are sinners is because of Adam. You are wrong, bro. Amen. Amen. You are wrong. A man is not a sinner because of Adam. Moses only wrote Adam for you to see what sin does to man. Amen. If you understand that is what happens, then you won't be asking the next question, where do babies go to when they die? You don't ask that kind of question. Because when you know that, right, when you know that Adam's sin was not for every man, then you have an understanding of some other things. Glory to God. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. So they now say, because of that, the death of Jesus was for everybody. You don't need to be born again, you are just saved. That's universalism. Right? That's universalism. So, Now, universalism will see this, and then they will say, oh, every creature, it is the gospel which was preached. So universalism will say, the gospel will be preached to every creation by the death of Jesus. No. As if it preached to you. Amen.
Amen. Calvinism, I mean, universalism will say all the same. The Calvinists will say, oh, everyone has been taught, everybody has had the gospel. Everybody has had the gospel. The ones that are saved are those that have been predestined to be saved. Oh, that's rubbish. Do you see that? That's rubbish.
The root of the word all creation here is used for those who have heard the gospel and are saved.
You see that? It's used for all believers. That's the word KTSIS. K-T-S-I-S.
It's the word you find in Mark 16:15. Go to the word and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Now look at the context. Everyone. Every creature. Right?
But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, look at how Paul uses it. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation.
You see that? So the man in Christ is a new creation. You see that? Amen.
Yes. Amen. In Galatians 6:15, is used for those who are saved. Now in Colossians, where we are, in verse 15, is used for the believers. Said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Every creature. Look at verse 18 yesterday. Say he's the head of the body, the church. This is the firstborn of the creature. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So the every creature in verse 15 is the church in verse 18. Did you see that?
Did you see that? So the every creature in verse 15 is the church in verse 18. Therefore, the creation is the new creation under heaven.
Now watch that word. In verse 23, I'm trying to be fast. I see. I'm still very fast. Verse 23, it is moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard and which we speak to every creature which is under heaven.
Now use the word under heaven there. The word under heaven there, you remember the use of the word heaven, Uranus, right? Uranus, used for, it's not used for a distance, it's used for a distinction, right?
Used for the spiritual, used for the spiritual. So this word under heaven will be for those found in Christ. Christ, right? Right? Spiritual too.
Found in Christ. Found in the Father, in the Son. Right? Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Which is under heaven, where I, Paul, made a minister. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Paul's prayer for them is to grow in knowledge, and they'll grow in knowledge by staying in the gospel. To grow in knowledge by staying. So growth is achieved by staying, continuing in. This is that growth is achieved by staying, continuing in. So therefore we can say growth will be found in consistency. Consistency. The life of truth is the life of consistency. Remember I told us something when we started this teaching. I said there are two ways to approach Bible study, right? Reading in subject and reading in what? And reading in text. That you find the composition of subjects in the text. Now, can you see? We just read prayer and now we're looking at growth, right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's the same in the same text. Hallelujah. So the life of truth is the life of consistency. So what is the opposite of truth? And what is the opposite of consistency? To be moved. Amen. To be moved. So Paul is writing that to them. That they would know. Right? That they would know. That they ought to stay with the same gospel. Stay with the same gospel. Hallelujah.
So let's get back to verses 11. Let's read now. I mean, at the time, can we cover up?
Let's see, let's just even take 12, 13, and let's see if we can stop at 14. So pick the remaining
on Saturday. Hallelujah. Back to verses 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Say, giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, the word meet there is the word hikano. H-I-K-A-N-O-O. Hikano. The word you find in 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. It says, you have made us able. That's the word. Made us able ministers. Fit. That's the word. To be made fit. Made competent. Able minister. That's the word. To be made fit. So, giving us the thanks to the Father, which who has made us fit. This is that. He has made us fit. Competent. To be partakers. Partakers there is the word meris. Merit, to have an equal share, to have an equal share, share in something, have an equal share in something. You find that in Luke 10:42, Acts 10:21, Acts 16:12, 2 Corinthians 6:16. Take it again. Luke 10:42, Acts 10:21, Acts 16:12, 2 Corinthians 16:16. So he has made us able, competent, to have equal share of the inheritance of the saints. Inheritance there, we say the word inheritance there, kario, is not what you will have. It's inheritance there deals with what we have in Christ. And what it is? What is it? The Spirit. Right? Right? Right. So, what has been apportioned in Christ? Now, he says, we are partakers of it, of the saints. Now, quickly, I've done this for us before, so we'll just take it from there. So, we'll take, I believe, that in the light, we should be verses 13. So, right? Verses 13. We've done this study before here. So, it says, partakers of the saints. The saints are already in the light. So, you can see, putting in the light there is not it. Do you get me? We don't have the saints in the darkness. No? Why are saints? Because they're in the light. Okay, follow me. So they say things in the light will be tautology. So we'll take the in the light and put it in verse 13. So look at it. And number 2 is the part of verses 13 is talking about the comparison. Light and darkness. Delivered us of the power of darkness and translated to the kingdom of his dear son. So we'll have two contrasts there. Darkness and what? The kingdom of his dear son. So he says he has delivered. So how did he deliver? The word delivered there is the word used. The word delivered there is the word used for to keep from danger. To keep from danger. So how did he keep us from danger? Now it's not something that has just happened that is in the past. No, it's something that has happened, is happening, and will keep happening. Why? Because it is in the light. You see that? Amen. In John chapter 8 verse 12, it says, I'm the light of the world. Who that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have. So light is what we have as believers. So Paul, understanding this truth, will now put it, say, in that light that we have, light, in that light we have, that is the deliverance from darkness. Is that? Is the deliverance from darkness. So what Paul is explaining here is that the believer are in consistent deliverance from darkness because we are in the light. Hallelujah. 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 So what God has done is that we have delivered us from darkness. Danger. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So, in the light, he prevents us from the power of darkness. Darkness there is the word skotu. Skotu. You find it in John 1:3. John 1:3. It says, all things were made by him. Without him was anything made that was made. In him, John 1:4. In him is life, and the life is the light of man. Light shines in darkness. John 1:5. and the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. John 8:12, where I read earlier on, will not walk in darkness. So, Matthew 6 verse 23. Matthew 6 23. So, darkness is a spiritual condition. Is a spiritual condition. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It says, if thy eyes be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkened, how great is the darkness? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So, darkness is this a spiritual condition. So, watch it. He says he has delivered us from darkness and translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Therefore, we're going to see something now. 4, 6. He says, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. So that means darkness and light are in the heart of men. Amen. Amen. Darkness are light and light are in the hearts of men. So, he has called forth light to shine out of darkness. So darkness here will be found in the heart of men, and light also will be found in the heart of the man that believes. Did you see that? Amen. Are you following me? So both the darkness and the light will deal with men, with their hearts. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. Ephesians 6 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. So, against spiritual wickedness will be where? In the heart of man. Amen. Why? Because in chapter 2 verse 2, as I said to us earlier, chapter 2 verse 2, he says there, when time passes, well, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Can you see that? Can you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So darkness will refer to what is in the heart of men. Now I use the word to translate. To translate. To be turned in, to translate, to be turned in, that is faith. That's dealing with faith then, right? Faith, to translate this with faith. So what is Paul saying? What is Paul doing to their minds now in Colossians 1? What is Paul doing? While praying for them, he gets again to them and he's telling them about what has happened to them. So what Paul is doing with this letter is that he's taking their minds back to the knowledge of Christ. He's taking their minds back to the knowledge of Christ. What has happened to them? You've been delivered. Is that? He now goes to verse 13. He now says, verse 14. He now says, in whom we have redemption. You see that? That's the word apolutrosis. In whom we have redemption. When you have the Hebrew word God. Redemption. Apolutrosis. Now, it doesn't deal with, I know apolutrosis means to buy something from the market, and it doesn't deal with a mere buying of goods. Rather, the word apolutrosis there is the echo of Exodus. There's that echo of Exodus. You've seen darkness there before. It's echoing Exodus. Remember that? Egypt. Right? Egypt. Look at what God has done. Egypt. Now, he mentions redemption against Egypt. These are echoes. So the moment they hear, the moment they read apolutrosis, their mind goes again to Exodus. What are following you? Goes again to Exodus to see. It's an Exodus language for God. And it deals with the actual release. It's not where you pay money to. No. It deals with actual release. That release. Hallelujah. It takes their mind again. This is what has happened to you. You've been released from the kingdom of God. Then in whom we have redemption. Through his blood. Do you see that? Through his blood. He calls it the offenses of sin. The offenses of sin. Now let's get back again. Through his blood. Paul will use blood again. We're going to see that next week also. But he will use blood. For what?
He will use blood the same way Jesus will use blood in Matthew chapter number 26. In Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, yeah. Look at how Jesus will use blood. Hope you are following me. Following me well? Okay. Matthew 26 verses 27. It says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. You see that? Amen. My blood for the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins. I said to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the wine until the day when I will drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he said, drink with you in my Father's kingdom, is that John 14? Is that John 14? Is that union? Did you see that? So that means the blood is the Spirit. That's how he reads it. He reads the blood as the Spirit. Is the Spirit. Glory to God. The blood is the Spirit. So he calls the blood the forgiveness of sins. So take note, through, we have redemption through his blood. Right? What God has done, the union of the Father and the Son in the believer. Is that it? Right? So he calls it the blood. And I say that Spirit, he calls it the forgiveness of sins. That blood, he calls it the forgiveness of sins. Ephesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesus. Remember, we get to Luke 24. I'm trying to rush my notes now. Luke 24. Don't worry, we'll still get back to this again. I'm just trying to make you see a few things. Luke 24, verse 47, it says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Put your hands there and put your hands in Matthew 28. Say, sir, well, there's no remission of sins in Matthew 28. Just see what I'm about to show you. Put your hands in Matthew 28 and Luke 24. Let's see this together. Luke 24, what should be preached in his name? Repentance and what? Remission of sins. Look at Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. What I've commanded you is that the Spirit and the Father dwelling. Is that the Spirit and the Father dwelling in the believer? Yes. Hallelujah. So what should be preached? The same message, and he calls it what? The remission of sins. So that means that indwelling, the dwelling of the Father, the indwelling of the Father and the Son, which is the Spirit in the believer, is the forgiveness of sins. Okay, follow me. That is the aphesis. Amen. Amen. That is the aphesis. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So aphesis there deals with the taking away, a separation from. You find it in that word aphesis. You find it in, that's what is called remission of sins in Matthew 26:28, shed for the remission of sins. Mark 1:4, Mark 3:9, Luke 1:77, Luke 3 verse 3. I'll take it again. Matthew 26:28, Mark 1:4, Mark 3:9, Luke 1:77, Luke 3:3, Luke 4:18, Luke 24:47 as it's read. Now the word affect is there, or affear me, actually is affect is there. It deals with the taking away. Taking away. Amen. To take away. Take away. Take it from your past. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So what has happened is that sins have been taken away from our past. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 1:7. I close now. Ephesians 1:7. I'm the one hosting the meeting. So Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have, this is verbatim, in whom we have what? Redemption. We've seen this during the second session. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Now, in Ephesus, he puts it there, according to the riches of his grace. And before then, when you find the riches of his grace, you go back again to verse 3. You are blessed with God, who has blessed us with all blessings, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heaven. So the riches here deals with the blessings, which is the Spirit. Hope you are following me. Hebrews 9:22 also.
Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:22. You dare read. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hallelujah. That's the word. Apostasy is not a pardon. We don't have a pardon for sins. No, we don't have a pardon. We have a release, a separation from sin. Did you see that? That is what has happened to us. That is our nature. The Holy Ghost in us is that separation from sin. We have been relieved from sin. We don't have any sin nature. Amen. We don't have a sin nature. So that is why when a believer now walks in sin, it's not his nature. Amen. What are you following? Sin is not the nature of the believer. So when a believer is walking in the conduct of sin, you tell the believer you are not walking in your nature. You are acting beside yourself. Amen. What are you following me? Amen.
You know where to go?
It's just like someone who is in the United States staying in White House and is speaking vernacular. So alright. You shouldn't be. Amen. Amen. You shouldn't be. And I'm speaking. You now walk up to Biden and you say, ha, I feel like eating akara. They will touch your neck. You are living, right? This is White House. You don't call it akara, you call it bean cake. Liar. What is bean cake? We should also give a shawarma African name too now.
Ali?
You will now be calling your akamu pap. Akamu is not pap, it's akamu. If they don't like it, they should forget how to be pap. Ogi.
Be proud of it. We didn't give shawarma a name.
But they are giving our own bean cake. They gave us cake, we call it cake. They did not call it what it is, they did not call it man. We give them a car, they are telling it, they are telling you is nonsense. I give them pap. I said, no, this is not pap. I mean, this is not OG, it's pap. OG. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So our first is it. So we'll take it up from here next time. Hallelujah. We'll take it up from here into verse 15. It says, we have redemption. We'll take it from verse 15. So we didn't even round up. What I would do is that I think we've done the major part of chapter 1.
So we'll just read through. Amen. We'll read through. Don't worry. I promise we'll finish chapter 2 next time.
Amen. Even if we close by 5, we will finish chapter 2.
Amen. 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 You learn something? Are you sure? Let's thank the Lord.
Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord.